Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you: end of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
So my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of this series of conversations, small groups. Once a month, it's just men only, and that's the first Wednesday of the month. And on the third, sometimes the fourth Wednesday, it's a co-ed session. So I invite a feminine co-host, and I invite feminine participants to listen in. And basically, because as men, I don't think we listen well enough to what the feminine generally says to us, whether that's how it represents in the women around us or the children around us. And often not to how that represents in ourselves. So just a note of clarification here. When I talk about the feminine or the masculine, I'm not talking about binaries of men and women. I'm talking about polarities of energy that all of us have. Different teachers talk about them in different ways. One teacher talks about them as alpha and omega. You could talk about it as north and south, because it really is about this energy that we've got in us. And so from a yogic point of view, we are basically a mass of energy, of subatomic particles that are all charged and all moving between their north and south poles. And so in this kind of work that I do, and this yoga of polarities or yoga of sexual polarities or sexual yoga, whatever you want to call it, it has to do with learning how to polarize ourselves into how we are. So all of us can be in our masculine and all of us can be in our feminine, but most of us are more comfortably in one mode or another. And I'm a masculine identified man, for example. So on a romantic or sexual or intimacy level, I'm attracted to feminine identified women. I don't always know that, or I haven't always known that, or I haven't always known what to do with that. The women who have shown up in my life or who have chosen me for whatever reason have not always met with a man who knows how to polarize, which means how to really hold space for what they bring to me. So today I've invited Katrina from Norway to be my feminine co-host, to maybe answer some questions that you might have, but also to talk a little bit about what feminine vulnerability might mean to her and what helps her to express that. Now, Katrina is a very private person. This is the first time she's done one of these live Zoom calls like this, so I feel very honored. So thank you very much for taking the risk of being here and being vulnerable with whoever's here, but also whoever listens to this on the podcast later. I'm going to start by, I don't want to put you on the spot, Katrina, to have anything to say. And we had talked about that, that's not what you're here for. You're more here to respond and to basically be in a feminine space, which is to flow as the space allows. So what that looks like is a mystery to me. And it might be a mystery to you too. And I think that's one of the, I was writing about that this morning. It's one of the beautiful things about this work is just learning to trust that if I can be stable enough and deep enough in my particular way of being masculine, then the feminine starts to move all within me and all around me in ways that I can't really imagine until it happens, and then I get to move with that, or I get to hold space for that. So as a preface, I just want to say a few words about one is I hosted a retreat this weekend, and we started with a Friday evening co-ed practice. So we actually, I had a colleague and Amsong Trouton, and she worked with the feminine identified women who were there to move them, to help them access different aspects of how they might express or be in their feminine. So we live in a culture that really doesn't value that at all, or only values it in really specific kinds of ways. So for a lot of women to actually move into feeling different kinds of vulnerability, and that vulnerability might show up as, and we use these to play with, these archetypes or these ways. So, you know, Amsong had these women play with how they might express the flirtatious, how they might express submissive or submission, how they might express being in a dominant mode, how they might express the destructress or Kali, the one who, you know, wants to take your head off when you're not paying attention, and how they might represent the devotional angel. So some of those are easy for feminine identified women to move into than others. And she worked with the women to explore all of those in a very short period of time. I mean, we only had an evening. And I was working with the men to do practices that help us get stable enough so that whatever the feminine brings to us, whether it's something as enjoyable as flirtatious, which we often find quite enjoyable, many of us, or something as threatening as the Kali destructress, or threatening in a different way, which is the devotional angel, which is so, or the submission, the submissive, there's so much tenderness there that it starts to move things in us that we often are not comfortable feeling or holding space for. So I love this work because I get to see all the stuff at play, and I get to help men and women go into these energies. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, I grew up reading a lot of Greek mythology, Norse mythology, but right now a couple of Greek stories from the Greek legends or myths resonate for me. And one of them is the story of the siren. And I've been thinking that story needs to be reimagined, because in the original, how the original telling has been presented to me anyway, is that Odysseus, also known as Ulysses, who is on this odyssey coming home from the Trojan Wars, has all these adventures, and in one of them he ends up spending time with the witch Circe. And when he leaves, Circe advises him to go to the sirens. Now the sirens are frightening things, and all the sailors stay away from the sirens because the sirens sing this beautiful song that lures them to their destruction on the rocks of their island. And she says to Odysseus that he should go there. He should make sure that his crew has their ears stopped so they can't hear the siren song. And he also has to instruct his crew to sail close, but not too close, but to sail by them, and to not listen to whatever he is saying. And then he is to be lashed to the main post and allowed to listen. And of course, when he sails by the sirens, it's so beautiful, and all he wants to do is like go to them, but his crew is steadfast and they just sail by. And so he has this experience of incredible opening and vulnerability to beauty, but he isn't destroyed. Now, I'm thinking about this story as our masculine fear of what the feminine brings to us, and that we're afraid if we get too close to it, if we actually allow ourselves to feel too much of it, that we'll be smashed, obliterated, and basically useless and whatever. So in what Circe tells Odysseus to do, my interpretation of that is his crew and his ship become that masculine, that safe masculine structure that he can count on to get him through those things, but he can leave himself open to actually experience it. So in a way, that's what we did on this weekend was, you know, I was hopefully teaching these men how to be both this, you know, the crew or the stability, that safe container that can move them close to and through these feminine storms or beauty and love, all the things that threaten to undo us as men, or that we fear will undo us, but also to keep our hearts open and to hear all that and to trust that our training or our crew or whatever will keep us from the rocks, that part of ourselves needs to be obliterated, but we can hold space for that and allow that to happen. So that's my off the top of my head retelling of this. And for me, it's a story about vulnerability and capacity to hold space for vulnerability. And before I ask you any questions or talk to you, Katrina, I'd like to just, if anybody who's listening has any comments or questions, there's a space here for you now to offer that. So I'm not seeing any questions. No one has their hand up. Okay. So Katrina, I know you, and I'm just going to say a few words about her. I don't actually know a lot about you. I know a lot about you, and I know very little about you. I guess what I know about you is that in the moment, you are often moved to reveal a profound vulnerability. And you do this behind your nom de plume, your name on Facebook, and now your name on your website of Dark Feminine Desire. So I'm interested in what you have to say about your vulnerability and what allows that to be revealed.
I think this, I believe this journey started with the pandemic, truly, because I think all of us felt and still feel it maybe, how we was kind of forced to slow down. And, you know, when the world was gone mad, you truly had to feel into something even more vulnerable than my own story. I have written a bit about my story having a chronic ill child. And, you know, being used to trust life quite deeply because I didn't know if he was going to survive at some point. And then after years with illness and the pandemic hit, and I had to slow down even more. And then something kind of started, I guess, because I think it's, you know, we know all about how stress is going, is so unhealthy for us, but both the erotic and the vulnerability in life, I felt it's deeply connected because it appeared more clearly for me after I had to slow down, like for real, and the whole world was slowing down. So yeah, this kind of started, but then when I started my account on Instagram and started to explore more of what you can call dark feminine in kind of way, because yeah, that was the whole journey in itself. What is the dark feminine? And and living in Scandinavia, I don't have that many feminine women around me. So it was kind of a way to talk to especially men from other places in the world that have more thoughts and teaching like yourself about the feminine. So yeah, so for me, the key has been to walk slowly. That was the whole key point. And maybe even before that, as I told you last time, truly kind of embracing my rage. That was the start of it all. And because healthy rage is kind of cleaning out so much nonsense. So after that, I truly could walk slowly. And kind of let life break me open, I guess, because I don't feel I have any choice if I'm vulnerable or not. It's, you know, life keeps happening and it makes me soft and open. Yeah, if that makes sense.
I loved what you told me last time about, I'd forgotten about that, you're going into the place of rage. So that would be the what we would have worked with this weekend as a Kali kind of energy. But you had a lovely story about that. Can you talk to me a bit about the music that you used and like how you accessed that and then how it became part of, I think you, I'm not sure if your husband at the time was part of that, but your children certainly were, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. I was, it started a very hot summer in 2019. I found myself in a concert with a band called Soulfly. It's some people maybe know them as Sepultura from Brazil, and they play this kind of trashy metal loud and brutal music, and it's not my kind of music really. And but I felt this incredibly force of kind of, you know, the masculine power being extremely loud and noisy, and but it kind of gave me the space and yeah, kind of allowed me to feel into all these feelings, and I was very, had so much rage in me as a child. So kind of all of that come back, and it was kind of a safe space for me to get it out. And in my everyday life, my kids understood that, because when I listened to that kind of music, they understood that I needed some time on my own and just, you know, working through the emotions. And after one or two songs like that, I was feeling calm again. And my oldest even told me he has some this really headaches sometimes, and they told me that this kind of music really helped me with the headaches, he told me. So it's kind of strange that this, that kind of music is so healing, because it's counterintuitive kind of I guess, but we all felt it, and I truly, you know, that felt good to give space for my, you know, all the rage and complicated emotions, and I can scream and, you know, you do all the things. So yeah. So music is definitely a big part of my life, but this really changed my life back dramatically.
So were you living with your husband at the time?
Yeah, I was.
And what was his response to you playing this brutal metal music and raging?
You know, we met kind of through music. So he was an old metal head already. So for him, it makes perfectly sense. And he also played that kind of music himself live on stage when I met him. So I guess maybe I was the last one in the house catching up, really, because I think the three others had done it for a while. So, but for me, I needed that live experience of it and to truly feel into how it kind of gave, you know, allowed me that space.
So were you expressing rage around him, or did he just see that as you kind of moving to the music and didn't?
Yeah.
Like, did he feel threatened by that at all?
No, not in the music. And that's a bit, yeah, talking about being vulnerable, because, you know, I'm in the middle of a divorce right now. So we had this conversation. And one of the main problems, but I was too tired to speak up, really. So he always told me, why are you not talking to me? And I said, because you interrupt me all the time, so I don't have nothing more to say. So, but you know, so I think he felt kind of saw it as a healthy way of dealing with my emotions, but still I didn't feel safe enough to express them with words. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I can see it's when I told him that I didn't felt that he really gave me the space to find my words, he truly understood what I was saying, I guess, because we have really talked about it later on, and maybe the divorce made, you know, enough space. I guess the pandemic and living in these small apartments is not very easy. And for me, you know, I'm usually not that silent, but I become silent in a way. And That's also why I started my account on Instagram, the need for express myself and to allow myself to kind of do that without being interrupted.
Well, you're sometimes when I've read your post, it's been I'm going to use the word vulnerable again, but that isn't even adequate. It's just, there's a rawness there that it just almost takes my breath away. So you know, you found a voice there, or you what I see is you're voicing things that are really deep and really they would have been hard for me to read at one time in my life. It would have been too much. So that's something that I know a lot of us men often experience, is the feminine as too much. Do you ever get that kind of feedback that you're too much?
That's what's kind of the story of my life, I guess. Or, you know, not that much that in clear words, you know, but that's my whole story and old patterns, because my mother was ill and she died when I was 16. And so much of my life I have been the healthy one. So just being healthy, it's been too much in a way. So, and I also had a pattern in attracting men that already was exhausted way before they met me. Like my dad, you know, I was the youngest one of 8 siblings, and his wife was chronically ill. So of course he was exhausted. And all the men that I met, that really, you know, matters for me, they had this long story of being exhausted. And but I didn't understand that before, like, half a year ago. So yet again, just being the healthy one made me too much. And I had to separate 2 stories, like old stories, that my mom, she loves me, and my dad loved me, really. And I was extremely wild child and full of rage and anger. So I was too much to handle. But I was loved. And I guess that also took me a long time to see or to feel, you know, people being exhausted and to understand how they love me, because I couldn't see that. I couldn't feel it, because I just felt that I was too much. So that's been something to feel into. And I finally kind of felt at peace that I was deeply loved. And I had to kind of learn how to embrace my too muchness, I guess. So writing and listening to music and regulate my own system has been a way of owning that. In some spaces it's okay to be too much, and in music especially, that's my really go-to when I feel like acting out in every way possible. And music always holds me, and it's not judging me. It's just been there with the structure, and you know, and feel every emotion is welcome. So that's been a lifesaver for me in many ways.
Thank you. I'm just letting that soak in here. Because when I look at the relationships that I've been in that have really invited me to go deep, so intimate relationships, and I don't mean places where I've had sex with women. I mean places where I've had times when I've had extended, you know, several years with somebody, going through the that initial, what's, you know, the honeymoon phase, and then what I call, it's not my name, I can't remember who called it that, but the dead zone that is pretty much inevitable after 2, 3, 4 years, where it's, one of my teachers says, you have to learn, you have to get to the point of hating each other and then go through that. And it's interesting when you talk about your husband, because you obviously, there was enough of a need to be apart to divorce, which is a big thing, I think. But when you talk about him now, or when you talk to me about him, there's a tenderness and an appreciation for him. And I think about how difficult, you know, that dead zone, how difficult that is for all of us, and definitely difficult for the women that I was in those places with, and difficult for me, and just this feeling of not knowing what to do. I feel like now, as I'm navigating my way out of a long dead zone, some really beautiful things are happening, but I had to actually be in that dead zone for a while. And to be really vulnerable to that. And part of that was seeing the vulnerable, or understanding, like some of the things that you're talking about resonate for me, because, and I think that's part of why I am so interested in you and how you do stuff, is it helps me to understand women who are really quiet and soft and very vulnerable and very much in their feminine, which, and how much that has to teach me about, the more patient I am, or the more I can, I get tired of this phrase, but hold the space, to hold a safe space, the more they reveal to me about what's really important in my life, and that all the things that I thought were important just stop being so important. I can't say enough about what you do in your writing. It's interesting, you know, because a lot of it is, it's very sexual, it's very erotic, but it's the opening that I find so amazing. Like all of the, and I think this is certainly where I have been stuck in the, and maybe still am, I don't know, but certainly I, and lots of the men that I work with, is our sense of what of our own sexuality is so limited. And then we kind of lay that on you, on the women we're with, and we don't understand that It's just way more complicated and rich. But to even have a sense of that requires, and here I am talking and talking, it requires shutting up and being silent for you to open. I'll shut up now.
I love to listen to you. You know that. It's so calming. And thank you for holding this space so beautifully. And, you make this possible. I couldn't imagine ever being on Zoom talking and talking in another language than my own. That's vulnerability. Because it's kind of, I am kind of good at talking. And I have kind of, the language. So when I have to talk in English, that's like starting all over again. And let myself be seen without being good. So thank you. And and about my Instagram, I guess kind of what happened in that space, it's about language in itself, how we don't, you don't have the words for the erotic. And I don't have, I don't know how many times I'm talking to men or they are, sending me messages and they're apologizing because they are, feeling horny or, and just find language to tell them that it's okay to feel pleasure in your body, but it's not me that's going to receive it. I am just here expressing myself, and to kind of tell them that yes, I am sexually open, but it's not the same as being sexually available for you as a man. And many, that's mind-blowing in a way, because to actually have a conversation about the erotic and what how that feels in everyday life. So many men are, or women friends, I guess too, it's so, we never had these conversations, You don't set, everything else you learn kind of, you don't drive a car just doing it like that. You actually learning stuff, what I mean? So people are surprised that we actually can have a conversation, and they already know my side of it kind of, because I'm writing it. But also I think also social media is kind of, a thing to navigate, because yet again, I'm there because I have an account, and I'm not there because there are people coming in to my space, and that's also something I have to teach them, that you are in my space. This is like my living room. This is my home. So please be respectful. And so, I think it's kind of many layers in the space. And also this feeling of being close and people feeling they're, men telling they love me. And I tell them, this technology is kind of messing with our heads, because we feel so close in this little space, this corner of the internet. So it's kind of false sense of to be intimate. But again, I guess it's pro cons every, it's good to have this conversation, but it's so important to get out in the real world and live it and not being stuck with online. spaces. That's my experience after 2 years of writing on Instagram.
That was, yeah, thank you. I mean, I don't read the comments on your posts. I'm usually pretty much stunned by reading your comment or what you've written, and then I go and sit with it. And I think it's really interesting. I mean, I guess one of the reasons that I wanted you to come on here, and that I hope men are listening to this, is what you just said. You know, like, I'm going to say one more thing, and that is, whatever you're feeling with Katrina, how can you be so that the woman you're with or the woman you want to attract feels that, feels safe enough so that she can open like that? I mean, that's like, I think what you're giving to me is, I often use the metaphors of the garden, you know, so you're giving me this beautiful bouquet of these flowers and the smells and the colors and the textures, and there's so much there for me to enjoy. And now my job is to go to my garden and, like, how can I make that grow in my garden? So, you know, I've had men say to me things like, well, there's a lot of anger and frustration with men who want that bouquet but don't want to go through the work. And, I don't know if I was ever angry about it, but I certainly didn't want to do any work. You know, I've never wanted to do any work. So when I, you know, when things came to, when the beautiful flower in my garden decided to wilt, you know, to close, and then eventually left my garden, or, you know, went dormant, that was a wake-up call to me, because I've been in that place. So if anybody, man, is listening to this and you've been through a couple of relationships that at the beginning felt like the right thing, and then for some reason there was this closing, and no longer was she talking to you, or no longer was she having sex with you, or no longer was she giving you the kind of attention you wanted, you know, that's not the time to stop things. That's the time to start doing the work. Because the women who arrived in my life in that beautiful flowering of the honeymoon phase were, this is what I'm learning, this is what the training says, this is what yoga and tantric teachers say, is, you know, she chose me for a reason, and she chose me because she saw me as having the, what I call the husbandman, having the capacity to hold that space. And unfortunately, I've been a lazy SOB and neglected those gardens, and things went dormant, and I didn't understand that what those places needed, what those women needed, was for me to actually start stepping up to the plate. So that's my challenge to a lot of guys. When I do occasionally read the comments, not in your post, but on some other ones, I'm just like, wow, like, you gotta, there's a lot of us men who are so impatient and who want women to, like, open now, like, just be open all the time, you know. And I guess it's the luxury of experience and regret that I'm learning that all of that flowering, all of the stuff that you represent there is available to me, not from you. You're just showing me how much beauty there is. It's all available to me in the feminine around me, and the feminine in me, if I take the time to learn how to cultivate that. And so, man, I encourage you to read what Katrina posts, to be stirred by the kind of images that she brings to your eyes, our eyes, and then think about how can that happen in your life, and what do you have to do? Not what does she have to do? And I want to ask you a bit about this, because I certainly feel it in the exchanges that we've had, that I think you felt something in what I do, and the response I get from you is just this opening and this warmth and this appreciation, and it just feels so, it feels so good on my side. And I don't want to, you know, make myself out as some kind of amazing, extraordinary man. I'm just a guy who eventually, after many years of being an idiot, is starting to wake up to some things. But I'd like you to describe what's the feeling in your body that helps you to open up to a man. So not to me, because you don't know me. We only have this screen relationship. How do you trust someone? How do you trust a man enough to be actually vulnerable with him in real life? What would that take?
That's a great question. And what I'm practicing right now is being grateful for men in general. And that's kind of take me away from the story that men is bad, or, you know, I'm in danger. So quite the opposite. I'm practicing every day to see what men are doing right in the world, like for real. And, you know, it's kind of in the small things. And when I'm paying attention to that, I can feel in my body that I feel safe. You know, when a man opens a door, or, you know, talking to me when I'm at work, or helping me with something. So when I'm, you know, I'm single for the first time in 20 years or something. And so I have already trained, my body knows very well when I'm safe or not. And usually, yet again, with this technology, you know, I'm usually talking to men online first before I meet them in real life. And it kind of, when I'm truly honest with myself, I can feel it already when I'm just writing. So I did have an episode where I had to say no to a man when I met him. I met him a few times, and he didn't stop, and he was touching me in a way I didn't wanted him to. And I kind of felt into that for real. And if I had been honest with myself, I hadn't met him at all, you know. So more and more I understand that my body is animal body, and, you know, try to touch a horse or a cat or a dog in the wrong way, you get an immediate response. So I kind of feel that now, that my body already knows. And, you know, people talking about energy or feeling the energy, and maybe it is, but for me it's very in the body feeling, and my body knows when it's off. And yeah, so how to feel safe? I have this wonderful neighbor, he's a man in his 60s, and we're talking together, and he has this calm energy, and I felt safe because I could tell him straight away that I wasn't there, or I asked him quite straight out, what's the price of this? Oh, you know, talking to you and eating dinner and what do you want from me? You know, the society is telling me stories about what you are going to get from me. And he just, nothing. I just want to talk to you because you are great to talk to. And I trusted him because I could feel how he was actually being honest. And still, you know, it's kind of, I'm asking because it's not even my own stories. It's so much from the society and the wounds that we are feeling. So I guess back to walking slowly and daring to relax more, make me more in touch with my animal body, and my body knows. And when I am in situations that things have gone bad, I already knew that I shouldn't be there. So there's no blame anymore, really, because some part of me know that I am here because I chose to. So yeah, that I believe it's more about my own body and being relaxed enough and listening deeply enough to myself, then I can feel safe around men that, you know, that are actually safe. So yeah.
It's interesting because I often, when I'm coaching men, I say what a wise man once said to me. He said, you have to remember that she's a wild animal. And for her to come to you, you're going to have to be really still. You're going to have to become really safe. And I think that's our work, you know. It's like, how, I mean, we live in a culture that for millennia, you know, women have been trained to do what we say and to be there for us in lots of ways, whether, you know, to mother us, to be our sexual servants, to serve us in all kinds of ways. And one of the really beautiful things that I think has come out of, well, you know, it's out of 19th century feminism and all of the ways that women have started to express a need to be seen and heard and ability to speak, whether that's to vote or whether that's how you dress or whatever you do, is, you know, that there's way more there than we as men can imagine, and mostly we're frightened of what we can't imagine. Just like we could be frightened of what a horse could do to us. You know, here, that's actually an interesting example of, here's this animal that is very interested in us as humans, if we slow down. And it has the power to kill us if we don't treat it right. So again, my challenge to any man who's listening to this is, you know, how do you become safe enough and still enough to actually feel what the women around you are offering? It's interesting what you said about, or how you described this conversation with this neighbor of yours, because I know men who would just characterize that as, well, here was this angry woman, you know, or just like so much up front there, and I couldn't, why would I want to spend any more time with that? And I think, at least I talk to a lot of women, and I just am amazed that there's any time or patience for us as men, because of the kind of hurt that's in their bodies directly, but also in their family stories, and as we, you know, do the research, we realize that, you know, how many women, like, it's just crazy how many women have experienced sexual assault and rape, some kind of violence. So I think for me to first encounter protection and anger is probably pretty reasonable, just like it would be if I was trying to approach a wild animal that had been put in a cage, made to perform. And so now, how do I create a new relationship, a new way of being? And that starts with me. If I want your body to feel relaxed and open, then I need to be worthy of that trust. And I'm really grateful for what you do and for your willingness to make yourself vulnerable to all of us like this. And I've seen in the training that I've done, at the hands of really good teachers, I've seen men learn how to hold space for the vulnerability of devotion, the vulnerability of rage, and not need to protect themselves. And that's, you know, what I'm learning and what I'm teaching, but I'm just really grateful that you do what you do. It's helped me recognize just what I want in my life and what I want to make possible in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. Really. It's so good for me to, you know, take the small steps and let myself be seen. And interesting enough, I haven't been well this week. So that's also a new experience for me, to let myself be seen when I'm not 100%. So thank you.
So I'm just going to ask anybody who's here to, if they want to raise a question or ask a question of Katrina, to just raise their hand. Oh, I see something a question is coming from one of our feminine participants. So I'm really grateful that there are some feminine participants in this co-ed session. I really think that we as men need to hold more and more spaces that are safe enough for feminine identified women to talk and to be seen. And even though it's in this artificial screen world, that energy of vulnerability, whether it's the vulnerability of anger or the vulnerability of the kind of tenderness that I'm feeling from you, Katrina, that does help us as men to relax and open. It's actually one of the most powerful things for us is to, as you said, to slow down enough that we can actually feel that stuff in our own bodies and not to collapse into our own feminine and go, oh, it's all about me. It's to hold space for that and just really be grateful for what you offer. So again, this is a question from a feminine listener, and she asks, Katrina, how did it feel the first time you heard the music you talked about earlier? Did you feel an immediate change?
Oh, that's interesting. yeah, kind of, because it was like, I felt how the space was made in that moment, kind of. That angry child in me, and, you know, everything around me was loud, and I was just, for the first time maybe ever, I was allowed to be more loud and screaming and yelling more than ever before. So, and I have given birth to two kids, so I know about, you know, the primal, you know, from the stomach and from my gut. So yeah, I felt that like instant. And it was kind of amazing what's happening that evening, because I was, you know, there was so many people there, and suddenly I was visible. So many men was standing around me and was witnessing that I really, you know, felt the rage and also the joy in the moment of just being allowed to be noisy and loud and screaming. So, yeah.
It's always been a scary thing for me when the women in my life get loud. Because I take it, I have in the past certainly taken it very personally, like it's something that I need to fix or deal with. Or
yeah, and I, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because the last couple of weeks especially, I have a few followers, a few men, that every time I'm, you know, kind of telling that I'm not feeling well, or, you know, they are so concerned about me, and I just, you know, this is just life. I just need to express it. I'm not concerned about my health, or it's just, you know, noise that needed to get out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think men really want to help and fix things, and I think that's a good thing, but so very often we just need to be witnessed.
I like that, yeah. Mm. Just need to be witnessed. Mm. It's hard for lots of us. Yeah, like you said, we want to fix. We see what's a problem, or we think it's a problem. And it's actually, again, I feel like it's, you know, this the light bulb has gone off quite late in my life on some of this stuff. But the amount of suffering that a woman body, the amount of sensitivity that a woman's body experiences in her life, childbirth is one, but, you know, most women go through some level of discomfort every month. And for some women, it can be weeks. And even when I've been around that, and, you know, and the women I've been with have had different experiences around that, but some of them, it's been very life altering. And yet there's nothing I can do except for holding that space. And, you know, typically how we've dealt with that as men is to tell some kind of story about, you know, and all the words that we use about when women are going through their cycle, instead of just appreciating that, wow, she's suffering. And she does this every month with really very little complaint. And maybe all I need to do is, as you said, witness.
Yeah, and for me, that's why music is so important for me, because for me, that's the ultimate masculine holding space. That's also why I'm almost always listening to male musicians, because for me, that's a way of, you know, being inside of a space and the structure that the music gives.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm completely free to let every emotion just be lived through my body without being asked to, yeah, to be fixed. It's just there to move me and hold me in the same way. And so music, for me, it's the greatest gift from the masculine in many ways.
Well, it's interesting because from this way I look at it, that music is actually that feminine thing.
Mm.
But this thing about structure is that structure is definitely the masculine part of that.
Mm.
And I think a lot of us as men actually feel in music that we allow ourselves to feel things
mm-hmm.
in music, when listening to music or playing music, that we wouldn't otherwise be comfortable feeling. So again, one of the things I want to say to any men listening to this is, think about the woman you're with, if you're with a woman, and think about your complaints about her as part of the song she's singing you. And I'm going to say again, I'm going to draw on this idea of the siren, that if you can actually stabilize yourself and your fear about disappearing into her complaint or being destroyed by it, to listen deeper, and you'll hear something really beautiful, which is the vulnerability of her expressing something that maybe doesn't have words, but it has a texture and it might have a sound and it has a depth, that if we can actually sit still, slow down, again, thank you for that, Katrina, slow down and listen, we start to hear that there's something really beautiful there. I have another question. It looks like this will be the last question of the show here, so, or the group. Again, it's a feminine question from the feminine. Now that you are single and that you are meeting men again, do you feel that you are better able to take up space to say what you need, to express your desires and not his desires or society's desires? From listening to me, it feels like you now know you are worthy of having your own desires and thoughts.
Hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And what's been really eye-opening the last year, especially, is the unconscious people pleaser in me is being seen. And that's kind of interesting enough, is because I wanted to truly submit to this submissive part of being at service. And in doing that consciously, I truly saw how I gave away my power without knowing, and my need to give or help or fix, or, you know, was coming from a place of fear and trying to control other people around me. So it's kind of look almost the same from the outside, but I guess it's the mother in me. She is really the part of me that really is getting deeply relaxed these days. She is, you know, on vacation. She's taking a break for real. And that this is, and the woman in me is coming out, and she has a very, you know, you think as a mother, you have gone through so much vulnerable, you know, hard stuff with the kids and seeing them ill, and you think that's, and you feel that that's been kind of the darkness and the dark night of the soul. And then you understand exactly like that your own desires, your own needs, what you are as a human and as a woman is a very different part of you than being a mother. So So one part of it is saying no to being polyamorous. I've been that for years. And suddenly understand that I want a man that wants me only. And that's completely, you know, wow. Because that's, I thought I knew what I was, and I wasn't. So for me, the main question is he won't he, you know, he has to protect my heart. He has to be there and truly want to hold my heart. And that's everything else come from there. And because, you know, I have my own pleasures. I have my, you know, doing all those delicious things on my own. So if a man is going to enter my life, he's going to keep my heart safe. And so, yeah, that's my deepest desire, I guess. And,
okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much, Katrina. I just want to take a couple of minutes here to lead a short practice. That was a lovely way to inspire this. So anybody who's listening right now, just wherever you are, whether you're sitting or lying down or whatever, just feel your body, feel where it's not comfortable and make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes. Breathing into your through your nose. So breathing through our nose slows our breath down, which starts to slow down our reactivity and gives us the space to actually feel things and allow things. So if you can do that, I know some people have a hard time breathing through your nose, but if you can do that, that'd be good. And putting your hand on one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly and relaxing your shoulders. Breathing long and deep into your belly. So letting your belly get soft as you breathe in. And you're breathing without effort, but you're really softening the front of your body. Making sure your shoulders are relaxed. So what Katrina asked was, well, she put that out to, you know, the man that she is attracted or would be attracted to is someone who can hold her heart. So all of us need to learn to hold our own hearts, at least for a moment, until we can trust somebody to hold it for us. And if you're a masculine identified man, this is super important, because if you're expecting her to hold your heart all the time, and we do that because we don't have enough men in our lives to do that for us, because we haven't learned how to do that ourselves. If we ask her to hold our heart all the time, we are turning her into that mother. And the mother is actually a very masculine place for a woman to be. It's organizing, it's creating safety for her children, her family, providing. So right now we want to invite the feminine to just relax into a deeper sense of themselves, which is to be held and seen. And that's in us too. So right now, feel your own heart, whether you're, however you identify yourself, just feel your own heart and hold it. Breathe into it, breathe into your belly, then into your heart. And just feel how tender you can be just for this moment as you're holding your own space. Because if you're a masculine identified man and you don't know how to hold your own heart, she will never trust you because she doesn't see you doing it for yourself. So take time every day to feel this heart. All of us have this feminine tenderness, this feminine yearning to be held. And just for a moment, for a few breaths, just soften your belly, close your eyes, soften. Physically open the front of your heart by pulling your shoulders back a little bit and feeling that heart, the beautiful heart that all of us have. That most of us yearn to have held by somebody, appreciated by somebody. Just hold it for three more long breaths. Opening your eyes and coming back into this space, maybe just rubbing your hands a little bit and wake up all parts of your body. Katrina, thank you so much. Thank you for what you write and what you post. And thank you so much for being here today and your words. If you're listening to this, I will be posting this on the podcast, sacredbodies.ca/podcast. And I will include a link to Katrina's Instagram as well as her website. And for anybody who wants to do more of this kind of work, this embodiment work, learning how to be vulnerable and hold space for vulnerability, this is the kind of thing I teach, but I also know many other teachers. And if I'm not the right flavor for you, I'm happy to share a list of names and recommendations. I think it's really important for all of us to learn how to feel this deeply, to feel it as deeply and be as sensitive as Katrina's inviting us to do with her practice or her work. So again, thank you. And we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.